How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. It's an interesting line. Seems to suggest that when somebody has good news in their hands or good news on their lips, their feet become beautiful. And that's the line that I want to be ringing in our ears this morning as we celebrate God's gift of deacons to the Lacrete EMC. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, I want you to imagine for a moment that you are living far from home. You're away from your family, and it's hard. It's lonely. You miss your family something terrible. Sometimes you can hardly even stand it. You miss your family so much. But one day, the doorbell rings, and at the door is a Canada Post employee holding a big package in his hands. And on the package, you immediately recognize the handwriting of your mother. Your family has sent you a great big care package full of stuff. And you're so overjoyed to see this package with your mother's handwriting on it that you just burst into tears right there. And you give this Canada Post employee a big hug right on your front step. This person that you have never met in your life, you just love him so much. You hope he has a wonderful day. You hope he goes home to his favorite dinner. You hope he gets a raise. You hope his children grow up to be rich and famous. This person that you've never met before, he's brought you this wonderful package, and so you just love him so much. And of course, whether you hug him might depend on your personality. But this is why it's good for us to celebrate as a church when people become deacons or ministers, because these people are going to bring us good news from home. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is a phrase from Romans chapter 10. And Paul is using this phrase in this passage. As he is using it, he is remembering a phrase that Isaiah used in Isaiah 52. And he's picking that up. Back in Isaiah 52, the prophet was announcing good news to people who were living under the stifling rule of the Assyrians. These were Israelites who were living far from home. These were Israelites who had been tempted to give up hope. These were Israelites who were having a hard time believing in God anymore because God seemed so far away from them. God seemed to be way back home, and they were here in this strange land. They were living surrounded by all kinds of Assyrian idols. And these idols were starting to look pretty tempting. These idols were starting to look pretty powerful compared to that distant God who seemed to reside way back in Palestine. And so Zion, Jerusalem, the temple, all of that seemed like a distant memory. And they desperately needed good news. In keeping with what we are doing here this morning, we might say that these Israelites in Assyria, they needed a deacon. They needed a minister. They needed a deacon badly, someone who was going to bring them good news. And so the prophet Isaiah brings them this exciting news. And I want to read for you the words of Isaiah 52, verse 7. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to God, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your sentinels lift their voices. Together they sing for joy. For in plain sight they see the return of the Lord to Zion. And so here in Romans chapter 10, Paul picks up that ancient cry of joy. And he says to his Roman church, he says, now, it's happening again. It's happening to you, my fellow Israelites. The good news is being shown to them. And then he tells them about how he has been traveling around the world, proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, that God has raised this Jesus from the dead. And as he is proclaiming this around the world, he tells them, People of all kinds of cultures and situations are putting their life on the line to follow this Jesus and to worship this Jesus. These ancient promises of God returning to his people are coming true finally. People are finding salvation, Paul says. They are finding a life-altering, community-building covenant with this God of Israel. And this news about Jesus, Paul says, is so compelling, it's so urgent, it's so exciting, it's so good that anybody who brings it becomes like that Canada Post employee bringing you love from home. How beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring this news. Ray and Annie, George and Susan, it will be your work to bring good news to the people that you see sitting around you here. There are people in this room who feel far from home. There are people in this room who are having a hard time believing in God. God seems distant to them. There's people in this room who are not sure that God loves them. Many of us go through times in our lives where we feel like those exiles in Assyria. And deacons, through your practical ministry, people may finally get a little glimpse, a little grasp that they do not need to pay for their sins anymore. Praise God. Through your mercy, the mercy that you show people, people will perhaps for the first time in their lives get a glimpse of the love of God shining in the face of Jesus Christ. And as God uses you, deacons, to bring good news to people in the congregation, we can say of you too, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, we need to say quite clearly that announcing news, announcing the good news, announcing the gospel, is not only about reading scripture or preaching a sermon or teaching a Sunday school class. It can also be a simple kind of act of kindness, an act of mercy. Sometimes the gospel smells like roast beef for dinner. Sometimes the gospel looks like a ride to the cancer center. Sometimes the gospel looks like someone coming over to do an oil change on Saturday morning. Sometimes the gospel might look like a text on Tuesday morning saying, "I'm thinking of you. I know your dad passed away 1 year ago today." And so when we do these little acts of kindness, we are pressing the good news into the hands of people in a language that we can understand, that we can feel, and that we can appreciate. These are acts of mercy by which God says to the people here in Lacrete, "I have not forgotten you." When that casserole is brought to your house, God is saying, "I love you, and I have sent this deacon on behalf of the Lacrete community, the Lacrete church, to give you this gift this morning." It's God's gift to you. And so I think this is good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. If you as a church should be so fortunate, if you as deacons should be so fortunate to be appointed to be bearers of good news, the joy of that good news is going to spill over into your own life as well. And people will say of you, "Deacons, what a beautiful person. What a beautiful person." And I think you as the church should make it your practice to say to your deacons and to your ministers and to your pastors, "What beautiful people you are, because you bring us good news from home. You bring us the news that God loves us. In spite of everything we see around us, God has not forgotten us." Now, of course, deacons and ministers are not the only people who do that kind of work in the church. And part of their work will be to lead everybody in doing that kind of mercy work. But one key way in which this church brings good news of great joy to the community is by appointing and giving authority and resources to these deacons to do this in the name of you, the congregation. And that is maybe one of the key things that is changing here this morning for you new deacons. There's a lot that you will do as deacons that you did before you became deacons. And there's a lot that you will do as deacons that others in the church are going to be doing as well. But from now on, you get to do this in the name of the whole church. And so if you take a newcomer for coffee, it's not just you having coffee with a newcomer. In a sense, the whole church is there in the coffee shop behind you because we have laid hands on you and prayed for you this morning as our new deacons and given you the authority to represent the entire congregation in the acts of mercy that you carry out in this community. And so really there is nothing that a person can do that is more blessed and happy than to be a messenger of good news. And to do this in very practical ways. That's what I would call a happy calling. Now there's an authority that comes with being a deacon. And that, of course, is something that we have to be careful with. It is entrusted to you by this community because we trust you. We've seen the Holy Spirit at work in your life. But I think here is a very beautiful reason why we as a church need to honor our deacons, why we need to hold them in respect. When we hear how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, we discover a deeper and more attractive reason to honor and celebrate our leaders. We give them honor, we give them respect, we give them the resources and the space to lead in our congregation, not because of who they are in themselves as persons. We don't honor them because they're magnetic in their personality or they're powerful in their speech or because we're such sheep that we need somebody else to think for us. Rather, we honor them because they are bearers of good news. They're bearers of news that we desperately need. They're the ones who carry it to us. And we honor the gospel by the way we honor the messengers of good news of the gospel. But why exactly is this good news so exciting? And here I'd like to turn and talk a little bit about this good news that we have been given as a congregation to proclaim. In this passage here in Romans chapter 10, I see three ways in which the good news is so beautiful and so exciting that anyone who is blessed to carry this good news becomes somebody that we should celebrate. Paul, in this passage in Romans chapter 10, is wrestling with the fact that though the good news is the best thing the Israelites, his Jewish people, could have ever dreamed about, many of the Israelites had in fact not welcomed the good news at all. They had not welcomed the messengers, and Paul had, in his own life, in his ministry, he feels the clash of this reality. On the one hand, the ecstasy of the good news. On the other hand, the rejection of the very people who had been prepared for centuries to hear this good news. And his whole ministry, his whole life, was the collision between these two things, the goodness of the news and the rejection of the people who were supposed to hear the news. And that is often the burden of being a minister. But in this clash here, we get three glimpses of why Paul believes the hopes and dreams of the whole human community are now coming true in the message that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And this is the good news that messengers bring. First of all, we read in verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law," he's the end of the law, "so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." What does it mean when we say that Christ is the end of the law? The law of Israel was all about making a beautiful life. A life of justice, a life of mercy, a life of humility, a life lived in the fear of God. That's what the law was aiming at. That's what the law was trying to accomplish when Moses gave it. And this is what the law had taught people to long for. And now Paul says Jesus is the end of the law in the sense, not in the sense that the law is finished, but in the sense that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that the law was reaching for. By believing in Jesus, people are transformed to become everything that the law imagined and much, much more. And that good news, that is good news. By believing in Jesus, we can become people of justice. We can become people of mercy. We can become beautiful, humble, justice-seeking, merciful people who fear the Lord. Everything the law of Moses was grasping for, everything it was straining for, reaching for, has now come true when people believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. So that's the first thing. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything that the law was straining for. Secondly, Paul says these rather strange words in verse 6. He says, but the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Now, what does that mean? It means that in order for us to become the people that God always dreamt for us to be, two things need to happen. First of all, we need God to come down. Second of all, we need God to come up. First, Christ needs to come down from heaven and join us here on earth. Without that, we're hopeless. If Christ does not come down and be born in that manger, we're in a bad spot. And secondly, because God among us here on this sinful earth will inevitably be killed by our sin, somebody's going to need to raise Jesus from the dead. And both of those things, God coming down and God being raised up, are completely hopeless in terms of what we on our own strength are able to accomplish. We can neither go up to heaven to bring Christ down, nor can we go down to the grave to bring Christ up from the dead. And then he says, but what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. And so that is the good news, that Christ has come down from heaven, not by our own engineering, not by our own committee meetings and planning and so forth. God has come down from heaven on his own choice, on his own free will. He did it because that's what he loves to do. And we don't have to negotiate that. The good news is also, secondly, that quite apart from our ability to undo the worst mistake that human beings ever committed when they killed the Lord of glory and sent him to the grave, apart from that, God raised Jesus from the dead and saved us from the worst mistake we had ever made as a human community. We can neither bring God down from heaven, nor, if God should decide to come down from heaven and we make the mistake of killing him, could we bring him up from the dead. But God did that. God persists in coming. He comes from above and he comes from below. God is coming, and that is good news. Paul says it's here, it's on our lips, it's near us in our heart. Massively good news. And then the third piece of good news comes in verse 12. He says, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call upon him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You see, because God is so eager to help us, because God is so eager to save, because God is so eager to redeem us, so eager to bring us onto his work team, because God has so lavishly poured out his forgiveness on the world, everybody has equal access to the kingdom of heaven. Everybody has equal access. There's no premium membership in the kingdom of God. There's a group of elite people who have a better access, who have better privileges. Everybody has equal access. And this is why, my friends, the church appoints people like deacons to care for us as people. Because by their ministry, they are demonstrating each of these three things. They are demonstrating that God has not forgotten us, that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and that we all have equal access to the kingdom of God. By their ministry, they are announcing that we are all in by God's grace. By their ministry, they will show us that God has no favorites. There's no premium VIPs in the kingdom of God. By their ministry, we are being shown that God is good. And so, when a deacon goes to somebody and says, I know that this addiction has got you by the throat. I know it feels defeating, but I'm going to be here for you. And even if you fail, I will still respect you. Even if you stumble, I'm going to help you. And I'm going to be there for you. And I'm going to help you find other supports. And I'm going to walk beside you. When you, as a deacon, come along someone like that, something quite amazing happens. The next time that person is in church and they hear the pastor say, God loves you, suddenly that's going to be believable to them in a way that they never grasped before. They're going to say, ah, yes, I get it. I get it because George and Susan or Ray and Annie, they showed me this love. They showed me this love. They showed me that I too am included in God's family, in God's circle of love. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news. And this, my friends, is why we should celebrate our deacons, because they are bringing us this good news. They show us the path of salvation. And so when we are laying hands on four people to become our ministers or our deacons in the church, there should be shouts of joy in the people of God, because this is a sign that God loves us. This is a sign that God has not forgotten us. And we know that our world today needs that kind of good news more than it has ever needed it before. To be chosen to be such a messenger is a happy, happy, happy calling. And your leaders in the church should have your support. They should have your encouragement. But your leaders do not need your pity, because they're the fortunate ones. They get to be the sign. They get to be the messengers of good news that God is pressing into this world, wanting people to know and be changed by the good news. To be the bearers of that good news is a happy, happy calling. Now, deacons, of course, have to sometimes face some pretty difficult situations, right? Deacons are people who sometimes get used to working in places where no solutions are obvious. Deacons are people who work with people who are sometimes incapable of saying thank you. They pour a lot of time and energy into places where there will not be a lot of reward and not a lot of recognition. Maybe the only thing they will get from these places where they pour themselves into will be complaints and requests for more help. That can be discouraging at times for deacons. But in the final end, they are bringing good news. And to bring the good news is to be like that Canada Post employee on your doorstep who has the privilege of saying, here, I have news from home. Your father must love you very, very much. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of the messenger who announces peace, who brings good news, who announces salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And all the people said, amen.